You're listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 48. Welcome to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 48. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. We truly hope you enjoy this episode, and don't forget to check out our previous episodes as well. The All Day Rock Off podcast includes interviews, answers questions, and provides updates on the rocking community. In this episode, we have a very fun and eventually heavy interview with Adam, who runs Beasts OCR. The heaviness comes from the fact that him and I met at the Seattle Baton Light, which commemorates a truly horrific atrocity. That event was with Cadre Shredder, and what drew me to Adam originally, oddly enough, was his backpack. He was entering the GORUCK Light with a backpack that was zip-tied together. We ended up talking quite a bit through the event. We exchanged contact info, and shortly afterwards, we talked. He has quite the story on what brought him to both the OCR and the rucking community. With the GORUCK collaboration with Savage Race, I had wanted to have someone on the podcast who had experience with both GORUCK and with obstacle course races. He definitely fits the bill. Not only that, but he's an incredibly positive and motivating person, and honestly, he ranks as one of the top team leaders I've ever seen at an event. Not only is Beasts OCR an OCR club, but they are also an official GORUCK Ruck club, and they host their own Beasts OCR events, which sound like a ton of fun. We get into some of those towards the end of this episode, and hopefully in 2018, I'll be able to make it out to at least one. I'm going to cut this intro short. If you couldn't tell already, I lost my voice earlier this week. Don't worry, the interview was when I still had my voice, so you won't have to listen to this for too much longer. I do want to plug charity challenges. Sign up for the charity challenges spring challenge, which is fundraising for Operation One Voice. We've got Wall Sit and 8-Count Bodybuilders, which I know are everyone's favorites. Without any further intro, here is the interview with Adam.
Today, I'm talking with Adam from Beasts OCR. Beasts OCR is the largest OCR team in the Pacific Northwest area, spanning Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and maybe even further. I'm really excited to be talking to Adam today because not only does he run this giant OCR club, they are also a GORUCK Ruck club, and he has done at least a few GORUCK events, one of them with myself, Baton Light with Cadre Shredder. So Adam, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for the time, Brian. I really appreciate hanging out with you. And thanks for witnessing me in my post-shredded state. That name was aptly deserved.
It was. And he ran us up and down those trails.
You know, it's funny. When we were getting started there, after doing the tough before, and my bag was shredded the night before, obviously, because it wasn't, you know, a solid GR bag. But I was like, dude, like, he's literally shredding me and my gear. This is amazing. All right, here goes life. See what happens. And, you know, it was such a good time. Really met some amazing people. It's never failed me to go out and do a GORUCK event, to meet amazing people, have a great time. Always feel challenged in a new way and learn another way where I can focus some of my training and just improve.
Absolutely. And that bag you had, I wanted to take a picture of it, honestly. That thing was held together, I mean, miraculously by what was it, zip ties and maybe some duct tape?
Yep. So it was, I had this bag. This bag has been through like, gosh, maybe a couple dozen events. It was just a cheap bag that I got early on in my career. And the, you know, it's funny when you start adding in other events and other event styles, you start learning things that you just maybe were obvious to some people that you never thought about. And one of the things I had never thought about until that day was, oh yeah, zipper maintenance. You should be oiling these things. Oh man. You know, and I'm a beard guy. So, you know, I oil my beard every day. I'm not sure where I didn't think to oil my zipper. Well, the entire back zipper not only wasn't opening or closing, but it had ripped right off the actual fabric itself. And so before the light, it was just the cinchings on the side that was keeping it together. And then when my girlfriend got there, she brought all these zip ties, and we literally went through like every few inches and zip tied just to keep it together. it definitely, yeah, it was looking a little hodgepodge, but it worked.
Yeah, it definitely worked. So that zipper fix, that was between the tough and the light?
Yeah, so that fix was between the tough and the light. During the tough, it was when we were doing a lot of bounding with shredder. So we had to move up and down positions to defend and aggress against the Japanese. And just doing all those movements, it came loose. And as I saw it happening, there just wasn't time to sit down and fix it, right? So I just grabbed the side cinches and just cinched them as hard as I could and said, all right, I'll just have to keep re-cinching it. And I'll tell you, there were several times through the night where I felt myself reach back and, all right, time to tighten it again before it explodes and it would drop out. Yeah, that was a good time. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why you should buy a proper bag and you should maintain it, especially oil those zippers. That is the weakest link on the bag. I knew better and I didn't do it and I paid the circumstances, but you know, at least we have a good story.
Yeah, you got a real good story from that one. That bag, man. If you're listening, you should have seen it. It was it was in sad shape, but it held through.
I had to use actually had to pull out my slightly bigger multi-tool to get it the weight plates out of it when it was done. That thing was just so hard wrapped in there and it wasn't coming out. It was awesome.
So you've done a lot of OCR events and you've done at least a few GORUCK events. What did you get into first?
You know, I think we got to go back a little bit. So I was a little bit bigger. In 2013, I was married. Things were going so well. I was working 2 to 3 jobs for about a year between 2012 and 2013. I was working about 90 to 95 hours a week for just under a year. And gained a lot of weight. And I used to be a really athletic guy. So I started walking and then I started running and then I started being that obnoxious guy that signs up for, you know, 5K and hey, everybody, let's go do this. It looks tough. And, you know, my first 5K, like actual 5K, I think it was the mustache dash or something, 2014. And I think I ran it in like 30 something minutes. And I was like, dude, my cross country times in high school were like, you know, 18, 19 minutes. What am I doing here? And I kept looking for harder things to do. But back in 2012, I saw a Spartan race and I was like, dude, I'm too fat. I'm out of shape. Those guys are way too hardcore, way too tough. There's no way I could throw spears and carry big sandbags and do anything. And so I hesitated for 3 years. I didn't sign up for my first one until 2015 after I met some really cool people that were some of the original members of the Beast OCR. And they encouraged me to go do it. So I did my first Spartan race in 2015. Actually, I didn't even start off with a race. I started off with something called the Hurricane Heat the night before the race. That was my first Spartan experience. And that ended up being about five and a half hours of suckfest. It was all sorts of ridiculous. You know, we had tasks where we had to, we had 5 minutes as a team to move, gosh, these untold bushels of logs or cords of logs or whatever you call it, and just this massive pile. We had to make a Spartan helmet in 5 minutes on the grass. You know, all sorts of interesting tasks that some of them are tough, some of them aren't too hard. But when you have a group of, you know, 80 to 100 people that need to do it, and, you know, a lot of you are new to that kind of event, it, you know, it's interesting trying to find that team dynamic. And I loved it, you know, and I did the race the next day, but that hurricane heat really resonated with me. And this is where maybe this gets a little too personal, but after that hurricane heat, you know, I got a call from my wife at the time, and she said that, you know, she wanted things to end. And that hit me home, pretty hard. Right. So it's nothing like being out on an adventure and having probably the coolest experience of your life. And really kind of finding yourself after, you know, years of being kind of lost, really. And then getting that sucker punch to the face. Right. And, you know, it motivated me. It really reminded me, you know, that I had been living a life where I wasn't doing what I needed to do for me. And I was kind of living by other people's rules. And that next day, that sprint, it was a Spartan sprint, was my first race. After the night of doing the hurricane heat, I was beat up emotionally. I was beat up physically. I was just mentally drained. I said, there's no way I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do this for me. And I ended up getting actually my second best ever time for any of those races that I've done. And I was just purely motivated to keep moving and to crush this because I can own this right now. And, you know, from there, it took off. I realized that when I face physical adversity or I help other people or I see other people in physical adversity, it's really easy for me to transmute that into overcoming obstacles within your life. Right. So, you know, if you're dealing with a coupon ruck and you're at mile 10, you're like, man, this coupon is like 30 pounds heavier than I really should have done, but I'm going to do it. That's a reminder to me that, hey, when it's Monday morning and you forgot your coffee and then the coffee that you got was really crappy and cold and stale and gnarly and, oh my gosh, you know what? You've done harder things than that and you can do more. And it really was that love of, okay, I did this challenge. Now I want to do it again. What else is there that really led me to GoRuck a couple years ago? And, you know, now it's just how much can I sign up for before I end up becoming broke dad? And I'm going for it. And maybe that was a little too deep, but I think, you know, it's really important for people to understand because nobody knows anybody's story or what's behind them. But, you know, for me, it's really easy to say, this is where I was. This is how I found it. And then, you know, going from there. My first cadre was a really cool guy named Cadre Josh. And I will never forget, you know, when they do gear checks at GoRuck, I wasn't prepared for that, you know, bag on, bag off. I hadn't experienced it to that point. And gosh, we did that like, oh my gosh, 20, 25, 30 times. Because, you know, we had a couple members, you know, myself included, that just couldn't move it fast enough and didn't necessarily understand the premise of why that was important. And, you know, it was such a great learning experience. But I think in that moment of that difficulty, I look, you know, I remember kind of looking at myself introspectively and saying, this is amazing. This is such a great learning experience. And I've been hooked since.
Man, that's quite the story. Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
I guess I opened up the floodgates there.
No, that's good. I mean, everyone has their, you know, their own reasons. And I mean, I'm sorry all that happened, but that's quite the story.
Oh, thanks, Brian. You know, don't be sorry. You know, I think it's when, in general, right, when we're faced with something hard, we really learn who we are. And I think that's my favorite part about doing tough things, doing dumb things, right? When somebody says, you know, that's horrible, what time should I be there? Like, I'm that guy. You know, and I'm not the strongest, I'm not the fastest, I'm not the smartest, but I know I get to see every time I get into that tough place where I want to give up, or that tough place where I go, oh man, I wasn't ready, or I didn't know that, and now that's putting me behind by 30 seconds or whatever. I get to see who I am without all those layers on top, right? So we all, put these layers on of, you know, showing face or value or, you know, who we are. And it's only when we're faced with insurmountable difficulty that our true colors shine. And you know what? The first time I faced that ugliness of, you know, who am I when everything sucks and I'm cold and I'm tired and I'm not performing the way I want to, I didn't like that version of me. I was like, dude, I'm a wuss. I'm a whiner. I just wanted to give up. Right? All those things that you don't want to hear yourself say to yourself. And, you know, every time I push and we get to that spot, I see an improvement. I see something like, okay, cool. So I totally rolled with that. I had mental grit. I had toughness. I liked that. I could respond this way. But I also see areas where I can improve. Like, I should note this for next time, and I should help share this with the folks that I'm training with so that way they know about it. And I also should watch out for this or that, because you know what, if I have this kind of attitude when this kind of thing comes up, I can be more better prepared. So yeah, I'm a huge fan. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm harping too much on this, but the hardships that we go through define who we are. And when we strip down those layers, you know, I'm more happy now with who I really am, than I've been in probably my lifetime. And really that has to do with, you know, experiencing tough things in life and then signing up for stupid things and growing from there.
Well, that's good to hear. And I think I think you hit the nail on the head right there with that. I think that's why, you know, people keep signing up and do sign up for these tough events, whether it's a GORUCK event or a Spartan race or another, you know, OCR series event. It's that it's really, really easy if you're, you know, working in corporate America or in, you know, you have a nice desk job or something. It's easy to get complacent and to never have anything truly challenge you. So I think that's, you know, one of the reasons why people keep signing up, because they want to see what happens when they push themselves, you know, physically and mentally, because you're hours into these things and your brain's taxed, your body's taxed, and you know, what happens when you get to that point. We're not hunting our own food for survival anymore. You know, got direct deposit and go down to the supermarket and buy food for the week.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that. A friend of mine, and I don't know if this term has been coined somewhere else or what have you, but a couple of years ago, he started saying that the problem with, you know, most of the world today, especially in like first world societies where technology and modernization is just kind of the norm. The problem is we have something that he calls adventure fatigue, where, you know, our bodies aren't meant to, and our mental capacity isn't meant to go sit under fluorescent lights for 9 to 10 hours a day and talk about reporting and Excel work and, you know, have you seen the latest version of this document? we're not meant for that. And he really believes, and this hits home for me, that, you know, to a certain degree and a certain level, we need to go get that primal feeling of, you know, experiencing what it means. You know, for some people, that's camping or mountaineering or GORUCK events or OCR events. But I think at some level, when we face those difficulties, we're kind of reminded of who we are to be humans, that we have an amazing body and capacity for overcoming, that it's really easy to underestimate, especially like if you mentioned you're in front of a screen in an office for all day, you forget how truly powerful and amazing you are. And that you can overcome. You know, maybe you're 50 pounds overweight. That doesn't mean you can't go out there and pick up that sandbag with a ruck strap to your back and go carry it 5 miles. I bet you can. I bet you can surprise yourself. Obviously, you want to, you know, just jumping in, right? You want to kind of ease into some things. But the idea is, you know, we are meant to go do great things. So why do we resign ourselves and our happiness to be, oh man, I just got new Egyptian, you know, 4,000 count thread sheets and they're fantastic. And that's the highlight of my adventure for the week. That's cool. Go outside and see, you know, go see if you can, you know, find an antelope or a deer and just see what they do. Like, that's a cool adventure that people don't do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes total sense. It's a weird feeling, you know, when you're at a GORUCK event, which is what I can relate to the most. because that's what I do more than OCRs. But, yeah. You know, I'm always, at least I feel like I'm always smiling. And all the pictures I see, I usually have a smile on my face afterwards because there's just something that just feels so awesome about just being outside, being in the community, you know, with your group, with your team. And yeah. it feels like everything's right.
So for folks that are listening that haven't rucked with Brian before, he's not kidding. He smiles all the time. And probably one of my favorite things about doing a GRUCK event with him is Brian was always first to the fight. When something that was going on, we needed to achieve something, we needed to adjust something, he was always right there. He wasn't looking for allocates, he wasn't looking for glory, but he was right there helping you, beside you, no matter what. And those are the kind of people we need today. And that's the kind of people that ultimately we should be, you know, be there for your family, your friends, the people that are in it with you, and just, you know, don't do it for the Instagram glory, right? But do it for the betterment of people. So Brian, I had to chalk one up for you. I hope you don't mind, but
thank you.
That's really cool. Really cool attribute.
The only thing that I don't volunteer for on a regular basis is being team leader. That's only because I think you learn a ton as being TL, and mm-hmm. I don't want to take that opportunity away from, you know, someone who's, this is their first event, and mm-hmm. they might have that chance to learn a lot about themselves and, you know, how they deal with pressure leading a group of people who are a beat down, having a rough time carrying the current weight, and then all of a sudden you get a log or something. I mean, it's tough to motivate. And I have to give you props on that. You were a fantastic team leader. That was some of the best motivation I have ever seen. So at our event, Adam was so motivating that he somehow got us, when we were 5 hours in, to ruck jog and beat the cadre to the end point. We saw him in the distance, and I mean, it was a tough event. There was a lot of weight that we took a decent number of miles, and he was, you know, able to motivate the entire team to pick it up at the very end and beat Shredder to the index. And I don't even think Shredder knew that we were in a race with him, but he found out when we passed him.
Well, you know, thanks, Brian. It's really the team. I think one of my favorite things about these kind of events is, you know, you'll get events where you get some participants that, you know, are all, you know, alphas, and they all want to bark at each other and tell each other what to do. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but what it leads to is discoordination later on and confusion. And then, you know, we start getting penalties or casualties. That group, so at the very end, when we were doing team lead feedback and feedback to the team, I had mentioned that was one of the best teams I'd ever seen and worked with. And I really meant that. I think it's, as a team, we had empathy and understanding that we were all suffering and we were all, you know, in experiencing different levels of physical hardship and mental hardship, but we were there together. And I think as a team that we really understood that we're going to get through this together and we're going to shine. And from every checkpoint to checkpoint after that, every time hack, we got a little faster. Conrad Shredder mentioned that every time. And it was that last one to the starting point where we had an opportunity to really just crush it. And he even mentioned that we got there faster than he expected. And just the look on everybody's face when they're congratulating each other was just phenomenal. Like, how often does that happen? So yeah, just amazing people that were really, I think, empathetic to knowing that, hey, right now this hurts and we're sweating and we're tired and we're pushing, but we're doing it together. And I think we had a really good system of rotation for weights. We had a good system of rotation for road guards. And I think, you know, couple checkpoints in, it was such a well-oiled machine that, you know, I think we could have handled even more that was thrown at us.
Absolutely. That was, like you said, that was one of the best teams that I think I've ever been on. And what surprised me possibly the most is that I think there were only a handful of people who had ever done a Gork event before. There were a ton of newbies there.
There were.
And it was so cool to see them just like embrace everything, go full in on the experience and really make that an amazing team.
I think there was a few people there that had done the TUP before, and they had alluded to early on the difficulties that the American and Filipinos were facing in the Bataan Death March. And I think that I mentioned empathy earlier, that they understood that the plights that they went through, that we were commemorating with our hardships, was nothing compared to what they went to. And you could see it in people's faces when we talked about, hey guys, remember that this is this, and you know, if your feet are hurting or this and this, remember, we're not doing this for hours and days and days and days. There's a finish point for us. But, you know, let's honor them by moving quickly. Let's own this block. Let's own this next block. And, you know, when you when you compare your co-misery to something that's much worse, and then you have that feeling of honoring that memory, I think it's really easy to work harder.
Absolutely. And the thing is, I mean, our index was a happy time. You know, we completed the event and we were going to something, you know, we were working towards something awesome. The real Bataan Death March, they had no idea what was at the end of it. And it wasn't good where they got. And then, so I kept reminding myself of that. And the other thing I kept reminding myself is that any person who was at the actual Bataan Death March would have probably given nearly anything to have been at this event instead of Death March.
Well, I mean, when you talk about the depravity of the horrible conditions that, you know, our American and Filipinos were subjugated to. I mean, when they're talking about hallucinating and eating their own arms, or, you know, drinking the blood of the freshly dead so they have some sustenance, like that sounds like a horror movie. And you know what? It was not a horror movie. That was real life. And that's just some of the extreme horribleness that happened. And all of a sudden, that weight doesn't feel so heavy. That honestly, out of all the events that I've done, there's a few that always stand out to me that have the deepest meaning. And you know what? The Bataan Death March, especially put on with Cadre Shredder, who made it tough and brutal and real and simulated some amazing elements. It hit home so much for me. And I think that's easy for us to know and really take to heart that, you know, as bad as we think it has, you know, maybe our wife left us, or, you know, our dog died, or our best friend is, you know, telling us they have cancer, you know, or maybe our kid doesn't make it to their 10th birthday. Those are all real terrible things. And in no way am I ever saying that I'm trying to minimize those losses and that tough thing. But we got to remember, as horrible as that is, that's a part of life. And somebody out there is dealing with something much worse. And I know that's kind of a, you know, a funny thing to say, but I think when we recognize that our own difficulties, as tough as they are, they're not the most difficult and the toughest thing out there that anybody's had to deal with. And they're not horrible atrocities. Yes, finding out your ex is with somebody else, or your son has cancer, those are horrible things that would strike down anybody right to their core. But we can get through it together, and we can encourage people, and we can have, we can support each other and have that empathy to understand that that's something tough. I need to go support them right now. I'm going to go help pick up some groceries for them, or I'm going to go mow their lawn, or, you know, the little things that really make us human. What I'm circling back to is the Bataan Death March, both the tough and the light with Goruk, really hit home for me. And it was such a great reminder that, you know what, when I'm stressing out about stuff, or I don't feel like I'm amounting to things, or I'm not at that place, that there are those that have given up so much more for almost nothing, or nothing, or such little gain in life, that all they needed to do was survive. And all of a sudden, that cold cup of coffee on a Monday morning doesn't mean anything anymore.
Absolutely. And just reminding yourself, you know, going back to all the terrible things that you're talking about, just reminding yourself that there are people who went through the Bataan Death March and survived it, came out the other side, and they're still living today. They're still going down, you know, to the Bataan Death March that they put on every year, and talking there and being there, that they were able to get through that. I feel like whenever I'm in a situation where I think that there's, you know, this is the worst thing in the world, there's no way that we're going to get through this, this is terrible, that it gives me the power to say, you know what, people have gotten through worse. This right now really, really sucks, but people have gotten through worse. So I can, if I'm proactive and I, you know, twist this around, I can do something to make this better, or, you know, do everything I can, that there is, you know, there is that other side.
Mm-hmm. For those listening on the phone, I know that's getting really heavy. There's a book that Cadre Schroeder recommended. It's called Tears in the Darkness, the Stories of the Bataan Death March and its Aftermath, by Michael Norman and Elizabeth Norman. Real life story of what happened. I highly, highly suggest, you know, as an American citizen, as somebody who wants to understand some of that gravity, if you don't know the history behind it, learn it and be proud of the men and women that survived it and the men and women that gave up everything. It's really, man, I just don't have words for reading it. I just don't have the words to express. Gosh, I'm speechless right now, even talking about it. Get the book. It's on Amazon. It's not a lot of money. Support that author and read his story, because it will change your perspective on everything you do in the day to day.
And can you give us another reminder, the title of the book?
Yeah, it's called Tears in the Darkness.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll have to pick that up.
Oh yeah, it's good. It's good. So you mentioned earlier a little bit about Be So Young, and maybe we're switching subjects here a little bit. But I think you brought up something in our previous conversations that I think is a cool subject to talk about. Do you mind if I give some context on kind of what BCOCR is, and then we kind of, you know, evolve into how that relates to GoRa?
Please do.
Right on. So for those that don't know, BCOCR was founded in 2014. It was 12 people that got together at a bar, and then they went to a park and they worked out. And the idea was they're going to get together there to train for obstacle course racing, because that's tough. And they wanted accountability and people that were there to help each other. Fast forward a few years, we're just under 2,000 people strong across the greater Pacific Northwest. And we've now done over 120 free workouts for the community in three states, in several cities. And they're concurrent monthly. And it's all about having a place that people can go, that they know there's going to be good people there that won't judge them, that won't trash talk them, but want to help them get through something, whatever it is, to help them get to that next best version of themselves. You know, we've got a slew of things that we do. We run our own events. We run our own endurance events that relate to Go Ruck and rucking, that I can circle back to later. But really, as a nonprofit, the idea behind what we want to do as a core is provide multi-engaged channels of positive and inclusive growth to get people whatever they need in life. Because we don't know everybody's story. We don't know the races that they're running, you know, the events they're running, where they're coming from. But we know that people need people that they feel they can trust. And it's really developed this really cool family-like culture where people, you know, will poke and jab at each other as a family, and sometimes as a family we argue, right? But really what it comes down to is some of the most amazing people I've ever met that really just want to see people overcome overcome their obstacles or get to that next level. It's amazing going to a race and hearing somebody say, I just climbed a rope for the first time in my life, or I just threw a spear and stuck it for the first time ever, or I cut down my PR by 8 minutes. I'm so amazed. You know, and I've seen it at a Go Ruck event too, where I did not think I was going to make it. There was this one time at this corner where I almost walked away, but I did it. And that's really where I think the humanity of kind of what we've really just wanted to be has grown into so many different avenues is just be good to good people for no other reason than they're people and they need to be treated well. And that's really, I think, kind of the basis of what we do and why we do everything.
That's awesome. And it's, I mean, I see a lot of those ideas echoed in some of the rock clubs I get together with, but it's just so, you know, reassuring to hear that stuff over and over again. Just a great place for people to become a better version of themselves.
And, you know, sometimes that involves tough love. Sometimes that involves, you know, removing the barriers for them. Remember how I said it took me 3 years to sign up for a Spartan race and all things. And it took me another 8 months to sign up for my first Go Rock. And I don't know if I was just intimidated or what have you, but I recognized that there were barriers and I was my own barrier to doing what I felt like I needed to do. And there's been times where we do a lot of assistance, like in our group and outside of our team, where, you know, somebody wants to, you know, go try this thing that would be good for them, but maybe they don't have a place to stay, or maybe they don't have a ride, or maybe they don't, you know, they need help in raising the funds, you know, so we'll throw on a, you know, I don't know, a bake sale or something. Right. How do we remove those barriers so that way people can go and learn or, you know, experience that adventure? And I've seen it in a lot of rec clubs. I see it in groups like Travel Squad. There's, I think, what Go Rec does really well and obstacle course racing is they bring out, you know, you don't always get all good apples in the bunch, but it really brings out the best, I think, in most of us. I think that's one of the reasons that it's so popular is people want to see people succeed.
And that's absolutely one of my favorite things about, you know, still going to Go Rec Tough, light events, you know, all of that is seeing people out there for the first time and watching them crush something that they never thought they could complete.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So we do, that kind of inspired us to do some of our own events.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I saw on Instagram that you guys have been putting on your own events. And I don't know too many other groups that do that. So I thought that was, you know, a really, really cool and unique idea. I mean, I think the only other group I've talked to has been RuckFit with their RuckFit Elite events. But I saw, you know, Beast OCR last year, you had your Feral series. And I was kind of tracking that. And then this year you've had, I believe you're bringing Feral back, but you've also had virtual events and new stuff to the mix. So let's talk about the events that Beast OCR are putting on.
Sure, I'd love to. So that started back in, early 2016, where, so our Beastmaster at the time, the gentleman who founded and, had run Beast for a while until he kind of transitioned the reins. His name's Andrew Hooper, a really amazing guy, and a mentor and a friend for a long time. I had this crazy idea. I said, dude, I've got an idea for doing some tough stuff and it sounds dumb. Do you think we can go out and try it? And he's like, that sounds horrible. Yeah, go try it. And from there, it kind of took off, right? So we had these, we called them test events. We did our first one up at Rattlesnake Ridge. We had like 8 people show up, you know, and we did things like blindfolded Ironmans with chains and, you know, carry up this Route 4 sandbag, but you can't physically touch it and you have to carry it with chain or tape or, you know, all this other ridiculous stuff where I just had dumb ideas and wanted to try it and people loved it. You know, some of it was tough. Some of it definitely didn't make it past the editing room floor. We had our first formal event in November 2016, going on its third year this year. Actually, it's funny you mentioned Feral. So both Feral and Beastbreaker drop this next week, which is really exciting. But Beastbreaker, its very first one in 2016, we marketed it as, all right, we're just going to go out and have some fun. There's no time limit, right? And it was really built to be about 14 hours. And it's so funny. We got about 4 hours in, and one of the participants, she kind of nudges me a little bit. She goes, we're not going to be done by midnight, are we? So, no, we still got a ways to go. And she goes, I should probably call my husband. I told him I'd be home by midnight. And that was a good time. We actually did just under 18 miles in about 10 and a half hours. And we actually didn't complete the final phase. We actually ended it just a little bit early because we realized that we put on a really tough event. And we were really proud of everybody at that point. And it was amazing. We actually took that separate phase and it was ended up being a whole nother 6-hour event that we put on for free about 2 months later. And it was just a great time. So we've done Beast Breaker a few times. That's kind of our big 12-ish plus tough event. And then we've done the Feral series, which is, you know, anywhere from 3 to 7 hours. Our first one ended up being 10 hours. We were just having so much fun. We didn't realize it was 3 in the morning. so we ended up stopping. And then we have a new one called Ghost that came out this year. It's already booked out for 2019. That one's kind of like an adventure or Amazing Race meets Survivor meets, you know, multi-sport endurance rocking meets choose your own adventure books, right? So that one's a little wacky. It's totally crazy. We did the first one this year and people just loved it. So yeah, we've done a few different varieties of events. Probably the big thing for us moving forward is we want to have a lot more like micro engagements where we have like our virtual challenges with our new Beast Challenges website. And then we want to do, you know, some monthly rucks where it's just open invitation, come if you can. If you can't, no worries, make it next month. So kind of smaller engagements so that way we have a lot more zero or low cost things that, you know, can get people their foot in their doors. They can try something. So, you know, it kind of removes that barrier per se of, you know, oh, it costs money or I've never done it or I don't know what to expect. And then kind of have those three events moving forward. We've done, you know, I think what makes it different is, you know, it's not a GoRock event. It's not a Spartan Endurance event. We've done a bunch of, I have a big history of Spartan Endurance. But really we try to just have fun and do stupid things. Probably one of my favorite things we ever did is there's a clay pit that we went to, and the participants had 20 minutes to build this brick wall out of these remaining bricks, which consequently is the same clay pit that most of the bricks from Pioneer Square were made from. And they had to build this wall, and then they had to put stakes in the ground to defend it. They had 20 minutes to do it, and it was hard and it was tough. And they, you know, halfway through had to rebuild it because it was starting to fall over. Little things like that where we just try to have that sense of adventure where things maybe you don't normally see and are kind of off the wall, but also a lot of fun and a fun suck, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. What a wide range of events to put on. Where did the idea to start running these events yourself come from?
You know, I think it came from, you know, just... you know, I don't think it was just a me thing. I think it was kind of as a team. We saw that there are some gaps in different events out there that we liked. We saw some things that weren't happening. And just, you know, thought in some ways that we could have events that we thought were supported in different lights that were a little bit better. Safety is a huge thing for me. There's been a couple times where, you know, we've had events where you know, a couple items weren't as safe as they were when we had went and beta tested them. And so we cut those out for later things. Whereas, you know, we'll add other items where, you know, we've tested them and they were hard and tough, but they felt safe, if that makes sense, or relatively safe, right? So one of the things that's really important is to us is you're never alone. We'll always have some sort of buddy system. We'll always have something going on. There's other events out there where, you know, you might be, you know, hiking on a trail and you have to go to this checkpoint, get something and bring something back in a certain time frame. And that's a good idea, except if, let's say you're out there and maybe the weight is too much and I don't know, you have an aneurysm, nobody's going to be out there to help you, right? And so, you know, we have a few policies in place when we run these events where, you know, you're never going to be by yourself and help is always going to be right there in case you need it. And I think that's something that GoRock does really well of, right? You're always going to be close to the cadre. The cadre is always within your shot. And we really appreciate it. But it's those little things that make a difference, right? So if you're going through hell, but you know that, you know, there's a safety vest right there if you need it, that can make and break people. Now, obviously when you're talking mental toughness, you want to put people in certain situations where maybe they're in a safe place and that there's certain precautions that have been taken to make sure that no matter what happens, they're going to be okay, but maybe have the illusion of maybe that safety net not necessarily being there. And that really messes with people on that grit scale that I think, you know, in day-to-day life, we're not ready to deal with. You know, what happens if, you know, you have 5 minutes to work for the job interview of your life and, you know, all your tires got slashed? What are you going to do? How are you going to remain mentally tough? So I think, you know, I think that's kind of the basis for it is, you know, some safety, some ideas for trying things different. And we just said, let's try it. Let's do it and see what happens.
That's awesome. And it sounds like it's definitely paid off because people keep coming back and everyone's having a good time.
Yeah, we had a good time. For one of our feral events last year, we went down to Cannon Beach and we for part of one of their items, they had to build a pirate ship with, you know, logs, driftwood, you know, the gear that they had, a flag, you know, in the sand. And I'll have to send you a picture of it, but they built that pirate ship in 30 minutes as they were prescribed. And it was hard and tough. It was right when the sun came out, it was shining straight at them right in that first morning light. And it went from, you know, that morning part when it goes from 40 to 60 in like an hour.
Yep.
Oh gosh, it was right then. And they are just roasting, but they did it. And it was so cool. And such a cool feeling of accomplishment. And, you know, we even had one of the participants doing it barefoot, because it was on the beach. So why try something, you know, you can do, let's amp it up a little bit. And, you know, it's little moments like that where, you know, maybe doesn't sound difficult. Maybe that doesn't sound heavy, but it's unorthodox and it throws you off. And I think those are the moments that create the best memories.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more with that. So when do the events drop for this year? You said pretty soon?
Yeah, so Ghost is actually, for 2019, it's already up. That one was so successful when we ran that back in January that the venue, the folks at the venue were amazing. They said, come back, let's make this happen, whatever we got to do. And the participants there loved it so much. And, you know, obviously anytime you do something for the first time, some things work really well and some things don't. But that one dropped already. So we've got that one for March 30th, I believe, next year. And then Beach Breaker and Ferals, we're going to do one Feral this year, are going to be dropping next week. And then we co-host a few other events. So there's a really cool guy named Victor Carlillo of a group called Machete Madness down in California. He comes up to Seattle. This will be his third year coming up here to do something called Recon 12. And it's his 12-hour event that we're going to co-host with him. That's going to be in the middle of June. They don't call him the Machete for nothing. He's a good guy. And he just loves helping people do, you know, realize that they can do more. And then we have a sister team. It's not vetted out just yet, but our sister team out of Utah, we're looking at doing something probably in September. We've been calling it Project Rage for about a year now. What would be between the two of us where we'd get, you know, essentially their version of Cadre and ours, and we'd go make hell together.
That's awesome. That sounds like quite the time.
Come on out, man.
So if I wanted to come out and sign up for one or two or all of these events, where would I go to do that?
That's a good question. So they're all on, we have them all under our public events for BCOCR on our Facebook page. Right now, we just found that's the easiest place to host things. And, you know, that's where a lot of our folks are pretty easily engaged. And then it just links back to an Eventbrite sign up. We try to keep it low key and simple. We don't like to have to reroute through 20 websites and then, you know, do 20 different waivers and anything crazy like that. So just, yeah, find us on Facebook. It's Beast OCR or, you know, by our full name, Beast Obstacle Course Racers. And that's it.
I'm going to check it out for sure.
If nothing else, man, get out to Ghost this next March. I know that's a ways out there, but it's set to be a really, really cool event. Totally wacky. And when you get out to a setting like that, and it's kind of that choose your own adventure style where, you know, you can go and steal critical resources from the other team. You can raid their base. You can, decide what missions that you want to do. They all have to get done and they all have different benefits from getting them done. But what are you going to do? How are you going to choose your adventure per se? And there's certain elements where you have to work with the other team, but while you're working with the other team doesn't mean you can't necessarily do something to gain an advantage in that time. So it's totally wacky. It's definitely, like I said, you know, kind of that multi-endurance sport meets Survivor and Amazing Race for sure. It's a good time. It's a good time. So yeah, definitely make it out to that one if you can.
And you've given me plenty of time to make that happen next week.
We're trying to remove the barriers and excuses.
Absolutely.
You know, one thing that I got to say, and I don't know if everybody knows on All Day Ruckoff, but the work that you put into All Day Ruckoff and to charity challenges is not going to notice. So we've had several of our team members for some time now be pretty involved with the charity challenges. They've got nothing but love for it. They want to do it. And, you know, even if they can't fully participate, they'll at least sign up and do some, right? So I just want to say thank you so much for the work that you put in. That's affecting people in not necessarily just the OCR community, but we see a lot of run clubs that have started doing 1,000-mile challenge through charity challenge. We see guys that maybe would never touch the flutter kicks, like that flutter kick challenge. No, I'm not doing it, but they signed up anyways. So thanks for doing what you do, man. That it really means a lot to me. And we need that kind of foundation, that stickiness, that glue in our community, in our overall sports community, endurance community, OCR, Glow Rock. We need that kind of glue that really unites people. And so, you know, I don't mean to brown nose you too much there, but, you know, I think that it's really important for us to recognize the good work that people put in.
Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. That means a lot. And it's, you know, a lot of work running all of that and just all the positive feedback I've gotten back on everything, you know, for All Day Ruckoff and then for charity challenges and the team behind that. It definitely just adds fuel to keep going.
Wasn't it like 14 hours or something that you spent on the 1,000-mile challenge for just packaging and shipping and
yeah, it was something crazy. I enlisted my parents and my wife stepped in for a little bit, but she mostly ran herd on the kids, which is probably more difficult than packaging all of those packages. But yeah.
Well, you're going to need a middle or a patch or something, my man. That's some work.
Maybe that's what I need to do is I need to make a patch for assisting, and then I'll get people from the community to come over to the office and package everything for me, and then they'll get a patch for doing that. It's the charity challenges challenge.
I would be there.
Because people say they'll do stupid stuff for a patch. I can't think of anything crazier than sending a Saturday packaging up 1,400 plus packages.
You know, maybe we can make a new parenting movement, you know, for kids. Hey, did you get your lawn mowing patch yet? Oh, no. I didn't mow the lawn.
Yeah. There you go. Know. Yeah, we can repurpose the 1,000-mile, the checkbox patch. And we can have, you know, a list of chores on there and check it off as they do them.
You know, I think that's a great idea. Maybe having a kid's version specifically for charity challenges where, you know, it could be something like, you know, do these X amount of math chores or, you know, science, you know, chores or, you know, STEM projects or, you know, whatever. And or, you know, laundry 30 times. It sounds silly, but you know what? As a parent, I would totally sign my son up for something like that. And kids like challenges too. So you never know. I think that's maybe that's the next step.
Yeah, we've been looking at it at having a fitness component for kids. I know Pathfinder has one, and the Pathfinder one, I believe, also incorporates doing well in school and in some, you know, non-fitness activities. So just have to make sure everything's, you know, reasonable, that you don't have some kid breaking himself trying to get 1,000 miles in or something.
Oh gosh. I can see that new kid breaks feet from 1,000-mile challenge, 4-year-old never wants to get in. Yeah, I think you're onto something there. Let me know how that goes. I'd love to help support that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So I know we've spent some time together and talking. I think there's one more thing I'd love to chat with you on, I think that some other people would find some value too, is, you know, you come from a really strong background in rucking and the go ruck community. And I come from a really strong background of obstacle course racing over various events. But I think there's some overlap. And I think there's a lot of similarities that maybe, you know, maybe people are looking for. And I think with the upcoming Go Ruck Savage, I think that's turning some heads and people are starting to think about the comparatives of the two. I don't know. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that. Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely turning heads. The Go Ruck Savage tie-in or collaboration event, whatever it's officially called that they're putting on. And I've noticed it's been interesting. There aren't, you know, too many Go Ruck news focused websites. Like obviously All Day Ruckoff put out, I believe, a post on it. But in terms of the OCR community, there are a lot of websites that focus on OCR news. And I noticed that A lot of them have started touching on Go Ruck and Go Ruck related events and topics just because of that Savage Race tie-in.
Exactly. You know, we've got some friends over at Mud Run Guide, which is probably, you know, one of our favorites. We do a lot of Mud Run Guide, and Bro CR are probably our favorite news outlets. They're just good people that don't take themselves too seriously. And they, you know, they report the news as they see it. And we've actually been talking about that very same thing where, you know, they have some people on staff that are like, what is this going to look like? Or, hey, I've heard of rucking. Isn't that what Spartan Endurance does? Or why would you put on a backpack with weight? So we're starting to see some cool questions there. And I think now is a really good time to continue those conversations, you know, and get people to go try something new. I think between the two communities, right, you know, in Go Ruck community and the OCR community, there's a lot of that attitude of, oh, man, I did this tough thing. That's crazy. Okay, what's next? What have I not tried before? Oh, man, that sounds tough. Okay, I'm there. And I think now is a good time to, you know, get folks that maybe have, you know, a strong rucking background, go try an obstacle course race. And you know what? If it doesn't sound great enough or not hard enough, put on a ruck. I've done it. I rucked the Montana Beast last year with a 14th of the miles and 30 pounds on my back, and it was a horrible decision. But I loved it, you know. Or maybe people that are doing obstacle course races. Hey, you've done this. That's great. You should try a Go Ruck Light. Just try it. I think you should. And this is why. I think it's a great time to cross-promote in those type of events in our industry. I think there's a lot of people, you know, myself, that happened a few years ago where as soon as they try something, I mean, worst case scenario is they hate it. But more often than not, the people that I see that try Go Ruck events that come from OCR or try OCR that come from a Go Ruck or rucking background, they really get turned on to this new or different type of thing, or maybe it's not their favorite thing in the world, but they do it a couple times a year because they enjoy it or they like the challenge.
Absolutely. And I mean, worst case scenario is that's one day out of the year that you didn't have the most fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But did you do it? And did you stick all the way through? You know, that's a key element.
Absolutely. And I think you're absolutely right that it's, I mean, when I had Chris Way on, he always talks about finding, you know, the next thing. He's done something. He always wants to push himself and push himself harder. And I think a lot of people in both communities are the same. And you see that obviously in the OCR community because they just keep adding these longer events, the 24-hour events, and they keep adding things to allow you to push yourself. But I think it's really valuable to look at pushing yourself in other ways because, you know, running the same course once versus running it four times. I mean, obviously four times is way, you know, way harder, and it's more than four times harder because you're not fresh, you know, it's much tougher, but I think it's important to find different ways to push yourself as well that are outside of your comfort zone. You know, like you said, sign up for a Go Ruck Light, sign up for a tough, you know.
Oh yeah.
Get out there and do something that starting at the, you know, when you get in formation at the beginning that you've got the jitters and you don't know what to expect. And that's an entirely different mental toughness challenge that you're putting on yourself.
The GRJ, the Go Ruck Jitters. You know, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think what Goruk has done with Goruk Savage 1, it's not even happened yet. But the reason I think there's so much excitement about it is, A, Savage Race right now is the hot stuff, right? You know those memes where it's like the guy's with his girlfriend and he's looking back at the other girl? Like, that's Savage Race right now. Everybody's looking at Savage Race. They have some of the most innovative obstacles out there. They have some really strong trail masters that do some great stuff. And there's a huge desire for them to spread. And they, you know, they don't take themselves too seriously, but they have a lot of fun with it, and they challenge people in new ways every time. So they're really loved and respected in the industry. But when pairing up with Goruk, and the prestige that Goruk has, I think they've immediately addressed a gap that maybe some people aren't talking about within our endurance community, just in general, right? So a lot of OCRs right now are doing the 24-hour format, right? So in various different flavors. So I did the Hurricane Heat 24 last year. It was 24 hours, was it really 27, but just tough suck and adventure and land nav and all sorts of crazy stuff. But what we're seeing from Spartan is the Ultra World Champion. That's 24 hours in a loop format where it's very linear and you go around and around the same course as many times as you can. The big one is World's Toughest Mudder. It's very popular. 24 hours, same course, multiple laps, as many as you can, right? And then even the World OCR World Championship Enduro in Australia this year is the same thing. 24 hours, as much as you can. Now, those are great formats. Those are tough. And there's definitely, you get your pit crews and you go and do that, and it's fun. And that's a great idea. But I think it leaves open a gap when it comes to a format of, a different challenge, right? So I think the gap that people are looking for is, okay, maybe I've done this Goruk Tough, or maybe I've done this Goruk Light, or maybe I've done this Hurricane Heat, which is the Spartan version. Actually, Goruk helped with, I think, the fourth or fifth Spartan Goruk back in the day. And maybe I've done these smaller events, and I really like the format, but it didn't include these pre-built obstacles in different ways, right? So what if you had to take that coupon or that gear weight or that casualty and you had to get up a slip wall? And maybe you had to do it twice or three times because you had three casualties. Like, all of a sudden, that's a whole different challenge that's really exciting. And I think when people are faced with, oh man, I'm going to do this 12-hour challenge and it's going to be obstacle-based, dude, that sounds like a good time to me. And honestly, like, I am this close to canceling my prior engagements and seeing what I can do to fly over there and do the Goruk sound, because it is that cool sounding. And I think people want that. They want that kind of challenge where they know that they're going to have the expertise and the real and upfront challenge. That's, it's not going to try to trick you mentally. You're not going to try to befuddle you, but it's going to be very real. The challenge is just going to be plain and simple for you. Right. Goruk does a very good job of, this is what we're going to do. Now figure it out. Right. And I think adding in the complexity of, maybe you have this multi-rig obstacle, or what's the new one, the battling ram from Savage, where you have to slide down a pole with a single grip and then switch to another one. Like, that's difficult enough. Now imagine doing that with casualty carry or your ruck on your back. Like, to me, man, take my money. And so we need to be there. And I really think that Goruk and Savage have taken a risk that I think is going to pay off. That's something that I'm really hoping we have a strong showing there, because that really unifies kind of your love and my love, where we kind of have a blend of all those different elements. And I really think that's going to take off. And I hope to see more partnerships of that in the future. You've seen previously, it was the Goruk Nasty and that first Hurricane Heat when Goruk came in with Spartan back in the day. But I think this Goruk Savage is the right risk in the right way, where Goruk and Savage have kind of done a great job of listening to the market, of listening what kind of challenges people like on both sides of the fence, and said, let's do something hard together. I don't know. Maybe I'm sounding crazy here. What do you think, Brian?
I think you're right. Absolutely. And I'm really excited to see what comes from it. I recently talked to Blaine a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about how Goruk is trying to find an establish a lot more partnerships, that in the future we'll see some more partnerships, but we'll see them sponsoring a lot of events, because their goal right now isn't, if you look at Rucking as like a pie, their goal isn't to take over the pie, it's to expand the pie. So they want to, they just want to keep making this thing bigger and bigger. And I think that by getting a partnership together with Savage Race, that's, I mean, just a brand new market for them. And like you said, there are people at Mud Run Guide who are saying, what's this GoRuck thing?
Oh, absolutely.
And I think it's, I think that's working, and I just can't wait to see what they end up doing with it.
Oh, totally. I think that's the right motion. You know, I think we've got, gosh, man, I think you hit the nail on the head where you said expanding the pie. That's so right. Speaking of which, am I going to see you at Immersion here in a few months?
I hope so. I hope so. I still need to sell it to the wife, because it's I would definitely go and do both events, and she would for sure have the kids for the entire weekend, plus probably an extra day. But it's, I mean, what an experience, right? And they're bringing it so close. I think it's a 2.5 hour drive, a 2 hour drive, something like that. So it'd be crazy to miss it.
Let me throw this out here to you and the GRTs listening on the podcast. Here's the deal, guys. GoRuck Immersion. We don't have an expedition in the Pacific Northwest, so GoRuck, if you're listening, bring us an expedition in the Pacific Northwest. We want it. but Immersion, we've got a really cool opportunity here, and it's in Moses Lake in central Washington. I've got family over there that has a cabin. If the barrier to you not doing Immersion is it's too expensive to get over there, do the event, register, get the gear, and then have a place to stay, contact me on Facebook, find me, and I will make sure that you have a place to crash your head between Immersions, because I think that's so cool. I want to get out there, and I want to make sure you're getting out there too.
I mean, that's just living Beast OCR right there, breaking down the barriers to entry.
Hey, there you go.
Thank you.
Hey, if that makes a difference for one person, if that makes a difference for you, then we got you out there, and that's a win.
That is a win. It's a big win for me, for sure. We'll see if it's a win for you at the end of the weekend. Man, yeah, I'm excited for everything that's coming out here, and I'm excited for everything GoRuck is doing, and just even watching, there aren't, besides the GoRuck show, there aren't really any other GoRuck podcasts. There is a Datoma and Cadre Flash have their own podcast going, but besides that, I listen to a lot of OCR podcasts just because it's a great community. And I'm just floored at all of the new stuff that's coming out in that market. And now, you know, GoRuck's markets continue to expand. It's a really cool time for both of our communities.
I absolutely agree. You know, I think now is the perfect time to pick up a horrible hobby.
Absolutely. If you're listening and you haven't signed up for a GoRuck event, or you, you know, haven't signed up for an OCR, and it's something that looks even mildly interesting, I would highly recommend that you look into them and sign up. Do more than look into it. Sign up.
And you know, if those are too scary, get together. Let's go on a ruck together. Let's experience it. You know, I'll teach you whatever things I've learned from my mistakes, like, you know, breaking bags. And let's just have fun and be real about it. And, you know, let's take away the scariness and the intimidation from it, and let's help you do whatever you need to do to get ready to go on an adventure.
Absolutely. And if you don't live local to the area and you're, you know, training for a GoRuck event, GoRuck has an amazing list of ruck clubs. So you can find one, you know, near you. And if there's nothing on that list, then just find your local event page and post up that you're training or you want to train and you're looking for someone else to ruck with, because that's probably the second best way to find someone to train with.
Absolutely. I agree.
Man, Adam, so is there anything else you want to talk about?
You know, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I think we definitely fanboyed a little bit and talked true to a few things. I think for now, let's, man, if we start covering anything else, we're going to be fanboying.
We'll be here forever. Yeah, I think we can call this a wrap, and I think we'll definitely have to do another one of these, maybe after Immersion.
All right, let's do it. We'll do an Immersion recap.
There you have it. The All Day Ruck Off the new office might be built by then. Maybe we can do it in person.
Sounds good. I'll be there.
Awesome. Adam, thank you so much for everything, taking all the time out of your day. I hope you have a great rest of your day getting outside. I mean, enjoy it.
I will.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Rockoff podcast. This has been episode number 48. And as always, you can find the show notes, which include links to everything we talked about during this episode, at alldayrockoff.com/podcast/episode-048. Every link we've got for the show notes is /podcast/episode-the-episode-number to make life just a little bit easier for you. Adam has an incredible story, and it was great having him on to chat. I'm hoping to make it out, as I said, to one of his Beast OCR events, because they just sound like an awesome time. And it would be great to have him back on after either one of those or after GoRock Immersion in Washington State this coming summer. He has quite the event experience and is able to add some awesome insight. So it'd be really fun to talk to him about that event. If you enjoyed this episode, we would truly appreciate it if you would leave a review on either Apple Podcasts, which is on iTunes, or on our Facebook page. If you think we can do something better, or you have an idea for an episode that you want to hear, please feel free to reach out. Brian, spelled B-R-I-A-N, at alldayrockoff.com. If you want to support the All Day Rockoff podcast, you can leave a review, or you can hit up our online store at alldayrockoff.com/store. If you enjoy checking out videos about GoRuck or rucking, then check out our YouTube channel, which you can find by searching YouTube for All Day Rockoff. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. And remember, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, ruck harder.